Thank you, Pete. Thank you for coming. Well, rather, thank you for staying. Yes, fill your God-shaped hole. Maybe that seems at first sight to be a slightly odd title, but it's a concept, I suppose, a sort of a meme that has been in the media for a number of years now, really. Here we have, going way, way back, Augustine of Hippo wrote in his Confessions, "You've made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Blaise Pascal, in his Thoughts, says something similar in defence of the Christian religion. William Bright, paraphrasing Pascal, says that Jesus, as the intellectual, is saying there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Coming more up to date, the singer Tiffany Lee, who performs under the name Plum, wrote a song called God-Shaped Hole in her 99 album. And the part of the lyrics go like this. There is a God-shaped hole in all of us, and the restless soul is searching. There is a God-shaped hole in all of us, and it's a void only He can fill. Just a couple of other quick mentions. Tiffany DiPartolo wrote a novel published in 2002, called God-Shaped Hole, and in that she says, "We're all searching for something to fill up what I like to call that big God-shaped hole in our souls. Some people use alcohol or drugs or their children or food or money or music. Some people even use the concept of God." And coming almost right up to date, last year in April, the album God-Shaped Hole very briefly reached number one in the UK album charts. Okay. But is this actually a biblical idea? Well, the Gospel record through John chapter 7 and verse 37 says, "Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" And the word heart in the Greek, kulos, means a hole or an empty place. And in John 7, Jesus is describing a spiritually empty place in the heart of man to be filled by God. Similarly, in Psalm 63 we have, "O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." And as we just read in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 10, "I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also he has put eternity in their hearts." Okay, well, here are some quotes giving maybe a bit of a pause for thought. This is a very brief snippet from a Radio 4 programme, Broadcasting House, back in 2018. And it's a transcript of a small part of a recording, as it says, of three generations of the same family talking about things. And the grandchild says to the grandfather, "Grandpa, what's the biggest change in your childhood from my childhood?" And this is what the grandfather says. He says, "I think the biggest thing is that we've got no rules of life anymore. We have lost God. Whether you believed in God or not, there were rules for life. There was a certain etiquette. There were things that were done wrong, but the system worked a lot better than it does now. The biggest thing is that we've got no rules for life anymore. We've lost God. The gospel record through Matthew chapter 22 and at verse 34, and I'd like you to turn to that with me if you wouldn't mind. So Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. Matthew 22 and verse 34 reads, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he," that's Jesus, "had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" And I expect you will be familiar with what is recorded in Exodus 20 and verses 3 to 17. It's what is usually known as the Ten Commandments. And they go like this: "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image and worship it. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. Honour your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house, wife, servant, ox, ass, or anything that is your neighbour's." So that's what the Bible says. What does it look like today? Well, yes, you shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness, at least in matters of law. Otherwise, do mostly what you like as long as it's legal. What's missing? Honour your father and mother. Well, yeah, okay, most of the time. You shall try not to commit adultery, at least not regularly. What is irrelevant today? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make a graven image and worship it. Well, we all fill our lives with something. We shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And very sadly, you hear that commandment broken almost everywhere every day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, no, all 7 days of the week are now exactly the same, give or take. And coveting, well, we all covet something virtually all of the time. What have we lost? Well, "ye shall have no other gods before me." In other words, most people have lost belief in God. And a loss of belief in God, by default, puts man in charge. And man makes his own morals and ethics. He makes his own rules for living. And so it's maybe no surprise that the rise in crime and corruption and immorality and perversion show that man is making a really bad job of this. "You shall not make unto you any graven image and worship it." Well, as we said before, we all fill our lives with something. Drugs. money, possessions, pursuit of fame. Many people idolise pop stars, film stars, sports people. But in the end, none of these things bring lasting joy and contentment. How about this one? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, we all know that swearing trivialises language and demeans others. And foul language diminishes respect for others. It risks you losing status. It risks damaging relationships. It risks promoting bullying and getting into risky situations. What about the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? 6 days you shall labour and do all your work and rest on the seventh. Well, keeping one day a week special allows families and communities to spend time together, if nothing else. Keeping one day a week special is good for personal well-being. You shall not covet, specifically, your neighbour's house, wife, servant, ox, ass, or anything that is your neighbour's. Well, coveting leads to greed, self-centeredness and lust. And, well, comparing ourselves to others and what they have actually ultimately leads to disappointment and a sense of loss. If you do have God and God's values in your life, what do you gain? Well, without going into fine-grained detail, there is plenty of scientific evidence that backs up why believing in God and living by God's rules and standards make a lot of sense. People who trust in God tolerate uncertainty better. People who believe in God respond better to stress. People who believe in God respond better to medical therapies on the whole. And belief in God makes people more generous and cooperative. What does the Bible say about believing in God and its benefits? Well, it can give us strength and courage. Psalm 27 and verse 13 says, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Forgiveness and healing. It's a passage from Peter's first letter in chapter 2, which says, Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. About prosperity, health and truth. Well, John's third letter, says, verses 2 to 4, says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified to the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Peace and freedom from anxiety is a short passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 4. He says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Okay. So, filling your God-shaped hole, what should we do? God's promise to all, to everyone, is that if we believe in him and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with understanding get baptized and strive to follow his commandments, then God will grant us a place in his kingdom to come, and by God's grace give us eternal life. So what will you do if you fill your God-given, God-shaped hole with God? Then God promises us through Jesus Christ that, and this is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, with those few short words, really, thank you for listening.